Today's share of the Daf Yomi is Gemara Nazir, Daf Nun Dalet, Omud Beis, and Nun Hey. We're going to start at the bottom of Nun Dalet, Omud Aleph, by the Mishnah, 5 lines from the bottom. The new Mishnah begins. We had actually discussed in yesterday's share a number of times that our Mishnah today is considered the Seifa of the Mishnah that we had a few days ago. The Mishnah a few days ago was talking about all of the situations where a Nazir who becomes Tomei has to do a Taglachas, whereas our Mishnah today is going to tell us all of the situations where the Nazir has either Sofik Tumah or does in fact become Tomei, but doesn't do a Taglachas Tumah. Now, our Mishnah begins and tells us, we had this at the end of yesterday's share, Avol HaSechachos V'HaPiros, if a person who becomes Sofek Tomei by going underneath branches of trees or protrusions of stones coming out of a wall, I'll explain this more in a second, so he doesn't have a din of requiring a Taglachas Tumah, even though he's a Sofek that maybe is Tomei or not. Now, what are these schachos and peros? So we had already discussed this yesterday. We're looking at the Tosos today. The Gemara will explain what schachos and peros are. And there the Gemara will say that they are dealing with branches that are coming out from a tree, and underneath one of the branches, it's at least a tefach wide, you in fact do have tumah. And the person, therefore, if he walked under the rest of this branch, the tumah would be transmitted via tumas ohel. There is clearly Tumas Meis underneath there that would transmit via Tumas Ohel, but we don't know if the person passed underneath this branch or underneath another branch that was not directly physically in contact with this branch. They did come from the same trunk, but coming from the same trunk doesn't mean that the Tumah would be transmitted when you go underneath the branch. So if the two branches aren't directly adjacent to each other, so then the Tumah from going underneath one branch wouldn't be transmitted to somebody who walked only under the other branch. Then the question here is there's at least two, maybe three or more branches, and we don't know which one he walked under. Similarly, the peros are protrusions that come out from a stone wall. So these are stones or protrusions that come out from the wall, and underneath one of them, again, there is Tumas Meis that would be Metame via Tumas Ohel. The protrusions are at least the Tefach wide, so if you go underneath any part of this protrusion, you become Tame, and now it's a Suffolk. Did he go under this one, or did he go under a protrusion that did not, in fact, have Tumah underneath it? So that's what the Gemara will explain to us. So, Avol HaSchachos V'HaPros, a person doesn't become Tame Tumas Nazir that he would do a Taglachas on. If a person entered into a field, Tosa tells us Beis HaPras is Sode Shenech Rash Bo Kever. This is one of the definitions of Beis HaPras. This is a field that had a corpse inside of it, and then the field was plowed, and it was plowed in an area of Kuf Amma. So in this situation, there's a derabbanan concern, Choshu Chachamim Shema Dildel HaMacharisha Ba'atzamos, maybe in the plowing of this field, which included, unfortunately, the plowing of this corpse, that maybe there is a small piece of bone that is Etzem Kisora, but Vinishtayishom Etzem Kisora, Veleka Tumel Midrabanan. This would not be Tumah other than Midrabanan in terms of you're not permitted to go into this field. The concern is if you go into this field, you may do Maga or Masa with this Etzem Kisora, which would be a Tumah Daraisa. But here, just entering into the field, the rabbi said, don't go enter into the field because of this concern. One could or enter into this field with a bellows that would be going and going with a leaf blower and go in front of you and blow away the particles that are in front of you. And this way, there wouldn't be an Etzem Saora that you would come into contact with. But Midrabanan, you're not allowed to enter into this field. So that's the Beis HaPras. If a Nazir did go into a Beis HaPras, even though there's a chance that he is Tamei, or he's possibly Tamei Doraisa, but certainly it's also Midrabanan, he's Tamei Midrabanan. Nevertheless, if he was a Nazir, he wouldn't do a Taglachas Tumah for entering into the Beis HaPras. Similarly, the Eretz HaAmin, if a person enters outside of Eretz Yisrael, so as Tosa says, the Gazru Ba Rabbanan Tumah, Kidoma Perikama the Shabbos, as the first Perik of Shabbos discusses, this is a Tumah Durabanan that was placed upon a person either to prevent him from leaving Eretz Yisrael, so he shouldn't go outside of Eretz Yisrael, or because there actually are concerns that there were buried bodies over there, either from the time of the Mabul or from Nebuch persecutions of Jews, that a Jewish person was buried over there. We don't know it, and you're mahil over that area. Alternatively, that there were constantly graves of the akum that are there that aren't demarcated in any way. So this is an iser dirabbanan to enter into the Eretz Amim, and if a nazir did, so it wouldn't automatically make him tummy that he'd have to do a tumas taglachas. Of course, if he did come into contact with a tumah daraisa, so then of course he would. But here we're talking about just entering into the Eretz Amim. Tomorrow we'll also have a discussion whether this is entering into the airspace without touching the ground, or do you have to touch the ground? Now, the next one is v'hagolol v'hadofik. Now we have a machlokis throughout Shas. Rashi and Tosos is what this means. And you can see this over here in our Tosos, where he quotes Rashi from Ksubas. In Dibur Masla, golol v'hadofik, he says, Pirush Rashi, Perakam, the Ksubas. In the first paragraph of Ksubas, Rashi says that the golel, ze kisui ha'aron, this is like the cover of the coffin. V'dofik, what is that? Hu dofen shol tzadon. That's the side walls of the coffin. However, the Rabbeinu Tam doesn't like this. Kosh Rabbeinu Tam, Dom Pek Behema, Hamaksha, more in Chulin, he says, Al pnei hasoda. So when it says al pnei hasoda, that's to include the rabbos golel the dofek, and it's mashma the giluyin hain golel the dofek, that they're open. Ve'elu mechusa said, and these are closed. So therefore, Rabbeinu Tam has a different understanding of golel and dofek, and this is machlokas throughout Shas between Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam, what golel and dofek are. Well, Pirush Rabbeinu Tam, the golel hu hamatseva, that's the matseva of the coffin. The dofek refers to the avonim shamatseva nishenisbem, those that support the matseva. In any event, if the nazir comes into contact with just the golel and dofek and did not be mile over the mace, so this also is the type of tumah that the nazir would not do a taglachas on. Likewise, if you come into contact with revius dam and the next din, the ohel virova atzomos, or your mahel under just a rova kav of atzomos, but not the entire chatzi kav that we talked about previously that you need. So either a revius dam or ohel underneath rova atzomos. So then, in this situation, as Tosus tells us in Dibur Masel revius dam, he says afal pisha metamim ba'ohel. Even though this person is now tamei, nevertheless, as we pointed out, this is a dichotomy that we brought down from the Beis Din Shel Achronim. They argued with the great Rishonim, and they said that no, this they had the Kabbalah from Haggai Zechariah Malachi that the din is different between revius dam and a chatzi log of dam, and between a rova kav of atzamos and a chatzi kav of numbers, the revius or the rova kav, so then tumei tumas meis, but you're not requiring a taglachas, and it's only for the larger chatzi shear, the chatzi log or the chatzi kav, that you would be required. The nozer came underneath the oho with this, that you would have to do a taglachas tuma. So in this situation, he doesn't do a taglachas. It should have technically had said anything that's less than the half of the log or half of the kav. Because if you have 0.9 of the chatzi kav or the chatzi log, that's also not going to be making the nazir do a taglachas tuma. So why did it mention Rovakav or the revius? So Tosus says Elanoka Shurim Hamufurashim Beperkamadolos Shemitambol. It wanted to specifically tell us that the shear of Tuma, even though it's not the shear of Taglachas, but technically anything less than the Chatzi log or the Chatzi kav would make the person Tome, but not have to do a Taglachas Tuma. The Mishnah continues and says Vikelim Anogim Bemeis, if you have utensils that it touched the mace, and then the person touched that utensil. The simple understanding of this is because we had previously cheref hareiku cholol, that if it's metal, it is going to be metame like the mace itself. The metal becomes an avi avos hatumah, just like the mace. But here we're dealing with, the simple understanding is that it's materials other than metal that don't transmit this tumah and only make the person tumah for a single day. That's a simple understanding. Others say no, that you are dealing here even with other utensils, and they explain it in a different way. We'll leave it nice and simple that we're dealing here with utensils that aren't metal. The Mishnah continues and says, Uvyamei Sifro, Uvyamei Gemaro. Here we're dealing with a Mitzora. Let's just quickly remind ourselves of the time periods of Mitzora. Normally a person doesn't have Tzaraas. He then gets a Nega of some sort. He goes to the Kohen, the Kohen says, I don't know whether this Nega meets the requirements for Tumah, so we have to wait a week. And we examine the lesion, the nega, in a week. So this person is what's called a Mitzora Musgar. He's in isolation. He's sealed away. He's Sagur. He then, in some situations, will be re-examined in a week, and he'll be declared, you're definitely a Mitzora, or you're definitely not a Mitzora. In some situations, it's still unclear, he'll have to wait another week. In this period of time, when it's not clear what the status of the lesion is, so then he's called a Mitzora Musgar. At whatever period of time, they definitively declare him to be a Mitzora, so then he's what's called a Mitzora Muchlat. And that's what we're talking about over here, B'yemei Gomro. In this situation, it's Nigmar, it's definitive that he is in fact a Mitzora. Then, when the lesion goes away and he's now declared that he's tahar, he doesn't become tahar right away. He then has to count 7 days. And there's a whole tahara process with korbanos that are done. And this is called the B'yemei Sifro, the days that he's counting. So what the Mishnah tells us is, a Mitzora, who also happens to be a Nazir, so during the definitive time that he's a Mitzora, what's called Yemei Gomro, and in the 7-day period of time that's called Yemei Sifro, when he's going from becoming a definitive Nazir to becoming Tahar, so during this period of time, it's referred to as Yemei Sifro. Now, he is Tamei as the Mitzora Muchlat, or during the Yemei Sifro, he's still considered Tamei. Now he has to undergo Taglachas at the beginning and the end of his Yemei Sifro, and there's a 7-day wait period of time till the conclusion of it. The bottom line is, he's Tamei during all this period of time. So you might have thought that the Nazir, who becomes Tamei, has to go do Taglachas, but we learned out previously from the word Bimosam, that only a Nazir becomes into contact, or a Mal underneath Tumas Meis, becomes Tumi that he has to do Taglachas, but not when he has Tumma of Negoim or Tumma of Zov or Ziva, who comes into contact with a Zov or a Ziva. So therefore, all of these days do not go and make the Nazir have to do a Taglachas Tumma. However, these days, they do not count for the Nazir to go and continue his Nazirs during this period of time. We'll see this momentarily. In any event, the Mishnah concludes and tells us over here, Al Elu, for all of these, the Nazir doesn't have to do a taglachas. He may become Tomei under some of them, midrabanan or even midraraisa, but he doesn't do a taglachas tuma. Furthermore, umaza b'shlishi u'shvi, even in those situations where he is Tomei on a daraisa level, which we'll see is not necessarily all of them, as the Gemara will explain, but for those that he has a tuma daraisa, let's say the rov akav atzamos, or the Revi is Dam, where he's definitely Tomei Midaraisa, so he has to become Tar, and he has to have the 7-day process of having Umaza Bishlishu Yishvi. He has the Mei Chatos sprinkled on him on day 3 and on day 7, and he goes to the Mikvah, and we turn to Nundalit Omud Beis. In this situation, the Eino Soser Es Akobim, but he doesn't have the Taglachas Tumah, he doesn't knock off all the days that he previously counted in his Naziris, Umaskul Umone Miyad. And he begins to count immediately. In our previous Mishnah, we said that in the previous Mishnah, when he, in fact, does do a Taglachas Tumah, and he has to bring his Korbanos on day 8, so this was a machlokas between Rebbe Lezer and the Chacham. Rebbe Lezer says, even there he counts on day 7 as day number 1 of his Naziris. There it had knocked off all the previous days, so that would be day number 1. Whereas the Chacham said, no, it starts day 8, after he brings his Korbanos, is day 1 of his Naziris. Whereas here it tells us, Umaskul Amona Miyad. In this situation, he begins on day 7 to continue where he left off in his Naziris. The Korban Elo, he doesn't have to bring a Korban. And Be'emes Amru was either a Halacha L'Moshe Misinai Loshon, or it means that this was the Mesorah, this is the definitive Halacha, that Yemei Hazov V'Hazova. If a person becomes a Zav or a Zava, or the Yemei Hezgero Shomitzora, or he's a Mitzora Musgar, in those situations where he's not yet declared a definitive Mitzora, so even though he's Tomei as a Zav or a Zava, or he's Tomei as a Mitzora Musgar, in these situations, Hare Elu Olo, they still count for his days of Naziris. As opposed to Yemei Gomro, the Yemei Sifra, which we just talked about, while they don't knock off his preceding days, they can't be counted, as we'll see in the Gemara, for continuing his days of Naziris, and we'll discuss this more in the Gemara. So, this is our Mishnah. It's the Sefer of the preceding Mishnah. Again, the preceding Mishnah discussed all those situations where the Nazir does have to do a Taglachas Tumah, and our Mishnah is telling us cases of either Sofik Tumah, Tumah Derabbanan, or even Tumah Daraisa, where the Nazir doesn't have to do a Taglachas Tumah. And under certain situations, those days still count as his Naziris. In other situations, it doesn't knock off the preceding days, but it can count, such as the Yemei Gomro and Yemei Sifro of the Mitzora. They don't count towards his Naziris, but they don't knock off the preceding days of the Naziris. Okay, Gemara starts off and tells us, what are the schachos and the pros? So it said, the Eluhein ha-schachos. So this is Ilan ha-mesach ala-aretz. This is, again, you have multiple branches of the tree that are overhanging, that their branches are not adjacent to each other, they're far enough apart from each other, they're each considered a separate entity, and they're at least a tefach wide, so they would transmit Tumas Oel if you went underneath that branch, and underneath another part of that same branch, there was Tumas Meis, and here, underneath one of them, there was Tumas Meis, but we don't know which branch he went under, so this is not a definitive Tuma, this is only a Sofik Tuma, and he doesn't do a Taglachas. That's Sechachos, that's Ilon HaMesech HaLaaretz, and the pros was Hayotzos Min HaGoder. These are protrusions from the wall that come out, and again, same din, same idea as with the branches, they are each a tefach at least wide, and underneath one of them there was Tumas Meis, so therefore anybody going under that protrusion would be in fact Tomei Tumas Meis, and here the person went under one of these protrusions, doesn't know which one, doesn't know if it was the one that had the Tumas Meis underneath it, so it's only a Sofik whether he's Tomei, and the Nazir doesn't do a Taglachas al Sofik. Then the next one we said, Ve'eretz Amin, rabbis instituted a Tumah Midrabanan on the lands outside of Eretz Yisrael, either to prevent a person from leaving Eretz Yisrael so he wouldn't become Tomei, or because there actually would be concerns with various bodies that are buried all over the place without being demarcated. So Gemara says, Ibailuhu, they asked in the Beis Medrash the following question. What was the understanding of this Tumah in Eretz Amim that the rabbis set up? Eretz Amim Mishum Avira Gozru Leo. Was it really because of the Avir of Eretz Yisrael, as Tosu says over here? It means that the rabbi said, we don't want you leaving Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, even if you go into the airspace of Chutz Laretz, you're going to become Tomei. This will make people think twice before they leave Eretz Yisrael. We wanted to make sure people stay in Eretz Yisrael. There are great individuals that never leave Eretz Yisrael their entire life, even if there's a wedding, a bar mitzvah, Chutz Laretz. No, they don't go. They just stay in Eretz Yisrael all their life. So the rabbis, to encourage people to stay in Eretz Yisrael, gave you a tumah just from the airspace of Chutz Laretz, or Dilma, or maybe, no, the Gzeri was based upon Mishum Gusha Gazru Aleh, that the rabbi said, listen, there may be bodies buried over there that we don't know about, and therefore the concern over here that there would be mahel on a mace of a yid, or you would come into Maga or Masa with the mace of an Akum, and therefore the rabbi said, Midrabanan, if you go there, you automatically tell me, even if we don't have any evidence that you came into contact with either of these scenarios, a mace of Yisrael or a mace Akum. Toshma, where it says, let's bring a raya as to which one of these two was the reason. They asked in the Beis Medrash, was it Avira or Gusha? So we had this discussion previously as well, and here we have it again. Toshma, it tells us in our Mishnah that you have to have Mazeh Bashlishi Ubashvi. Now, that implies that there was real Tumas Meis over here, Midda Oraisa, that would require to have the Mechata sprinkled on you on day 3 and day 7. Now, the Amos Mishum Avira, if you're telling me this is a pure Gezerah, the rabbi said, we don't want you to leave Eretz Yisrael, and just by going into the airspace of Eretz Yisrael, where there's zero chance of Mago or Masa with a mace of an Akum, so in that situation, we're going to make you Tomei definitively that you have to have Hazor, Shlishi, and Shvi. So the Amos Mishum Avira, if you're telling me that it was a pure Gezerah not to leave Eretz Yisrael, Hazor Lomeli, why in the world would you have to do Hazor? Obviously, therefore, Elav Mishum Gusha. It is a real concern that you became Tomei with Tumas Meis, and therefore, as the Rush brings down in Hebrew Maskel, Elav Mishum Gusha, Shegozru Oleh Kimahil Ala Meis. The rabbi said, we are treating you as if you were a mile on a mace. Lefi She'ein Mitzayinim Ba Kavarim, and therefore, there is an excellent chance that it was one of the Meisei Mabul, it was a Yid, and you were a mile on it, or those that say that Meisi Akum or Matami Ba'ohel, so therefore you passed over it, you touched the ground, you passed over it, and therefore we have to be concerned over here, and therefore the rabbis instituted that you should do Hazor on Shlishi and Shvi. So therefore, let us say that it's a Raya from the fact that you have to do Hazor on Shlishi and Shvi, that it's Mishum Gusha and not Mishum Avira. Where it says Lav Davka, lo. In fact, the Olam Eim Loch Mishum Avira, maybe in fact the reasoning is, we don't want you to leave Eretz Yisrael, so it's a gzera that they put on even the Avir of Chutz Laretz. When it says you have to do Hazor, Shlishi, and Shvi, the Chiktani, that Ashayra, it's going on the other things in the Mishnah, like the Revius Dam, or the Rova Kavatsamos, those you definitely have to do, Hazor, Shlishi, and Shvi, but it wasn't referring to Tumas Eretz HaAkum. Okay. Mora continues and says, I'll show you that this is right. Hochanami Mistaba, this makes very good sense because Midiktani, it says V'chelim Hanogim Bebeis. It says that you likewise become Tomei if you touch the Kalim that had touched the mace, and we had explained that we're dealing here with non-metal utensils, according to the simple understanding. And now, these kalim only make you tame for one day, so they themselves are not obligated in the din of hazor, shlishi, and shvi. So, hani kalim, b'nei hazor, and inun, they don't require themselves to have hazor, shlishi, shvi. So, therefore, it must be that the Mishnah is not saying that everything requires hazor, shlishi, and shvi. It's only some of them, like the revi'is dam and the chatzikav, el shma minar shaira. So, clearly, the hazor, shlishi, and shvi is talking about some, but not all of them. And therefore, there is no problem understanding that the gzeira over here for eretz for amim, the lands outside of Eretz Yisrael, is because of Avira and not necessarily because of Gush. And we turn to Nun Hey Omid Aleph, where we say that this machlokis is a Gush or Avira, is in fact a machlokis Tanoim. Leimo ki Tanoi. It goes like the following machlokis. What is that? Hanichnas li Eretz Amin Bishido Tevel Migdo. We have this many, many times throughout Shas. The person enters into an area with his tumma. Here, talking about Eretz Amim, it's Tumah D'Rabbanon. So if a person enters there inside some sort of a container, a Shida, Teva, and Migdal are various types of chests. Shida is normally translated as some sort of a carriage. A Teva is a box or a trunk. And a Migdal is some sort of a closet. So he's totally enclosed and would be protected from Tumah that was in the ground. But wouldn't be protected from Tumah that's in the air because there's air inside the Shida, Teva, and Migdal. So Rabbi Yehuda Nasi is Matame him because he holds that it is Avira. Rabbi Yehuda is Matar. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, however, says that he's not Tame in that situation because it's the Gush and he's protected from the Gush by the Shida, Teva, and Migdal. Now, my love, isn't it, as I just said, Rabbi Sava Mishum Avira, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, Sava Mishum Gusha, right? Gush Emunim, the Gush, when people say they're going to the Gush, so it means the block. It means the block of earth. So the machlokas here between Rabbi and Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda seems to parallel this machlokas. Is it Avira or Gusha? Again, Rabbi, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi holds it's Avira, and Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's the ground, it's the Gusha. So it says Lav Dafka. No. In fact, Rebbe and Rabbi Yosef Yehuda may not be arguing about that. Lo, in fact, the Kuli Amma Mishum Gusha, both Rebbe as well as Rabbi Yosef Yehuda both agree that it's the Gusha, the ground. Why did Rebbe say that Yomitame? Because it's the Avira. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says you're tar in the case of the Shida Teva Migdal because he says it's the ground and you're protected from the ground. So we understand Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says it's the ground, but how does Rabbi say that it's the ground? Because Mar Sovar Ohel Zoruk Shmei Ohel. Because Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says that a Ohel that is moving is still able to protect you from Tumah, and even though the Tumah comes from the ground, if you're in an Ohel that is, even though it's moving, and certainly if it's stationary, it protects you from the tomb of the ground. Whereas Mar Sova, Rebbe holds, Lo Shmeol, an Ohel Zoruk, a moving, transitory, Shida, Teva, Amigdol, cannot protect you from the tomb of the ground. It's only when it's stationary that it can protect you from the tomb of the ground. So therefore, that's what the Machlokas is on, Ohel Zoruk protects or doesn't protect. But both agree, even Rebbe agrees, that it's the Gusha that's Matame, and not the Avira, and therefore, that's not the source of the Machlokas, not Lema Ketanoi, between Rebbe and Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, that they're arguing about Avira versus Gusha. They both hold Gusha. Then why are they arguing? Rebbe says an Ohel Zoruk is going to be Matami somebody. It doesn't have the ability to protect you. Whereas Rebbe Yehuda says an Ohel Zoruk, a moving Ohel, such as a Shida, Teva, or Migdal, can't protect you. But the more questions is, the Gemara says, wait a second, what time? We learned in the following Brisa, the Rebbe Yosef Yehuda Omer, Teva, Shi Moleya Kalim. If you have a Teva that is full of utensils, and you throw it, in other words, it becomes a Ohel Zoruk, Uzarka, Apnei Hameis Ba'Ohel, and you pass it through a house, you toss it from, let's say, one window out the other window, and it passes through the house, but it never was stationary inside of the house, nevertheless, it's Tmeya. So here, you see that Rabbi Yosef Yehuda doesn't say that an Ohel Zoruk can protect you from Tumah, he says it's Tmeya. However, in Hayusamunachas Torah, if it had been resting and there were the kalim inside of it in this house, so then it would protect you. So clearly, you see from over here that Rabbi Yosef Yehuda doesn't hold that an Ohel Zoruk protects you. So how can you tell me that that's the machlokes between Rebbe and Rabbi Yosef Yehuda as to whether an Ohel Zoruk is protecting you, and that Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says it does protect you? Here from this brisa, clearly Rabbi Yosef Yehuda holds that an Ohel Zoruk doesn't protect you. So it says Yitaka right. So that can't be the explanation of the machlokes between Rebbe and Yosef Yehuda that's talking about whether an Ohel Zoruk protects you or not. Clearly, this Brisa says otherwise. That's the Girsa that we have, and that's the way we'll explain it. There's another Girsa over here that explains this totally different way. We'll just keep it like our Girsa. Ella, therefore, the Gemara tells us this is the way to understand the machlokes between Rebbe and Yosef Yehuda. the Kuli Abba Mishum Avira. In fact, not only does Rebbe hold that it's the heir, and that's why Rebbe was Matame in the case of Anichtas Li'eretz Amid Bishita Tevu Migdol, it's the Avir, and that's why Rebbe says Yumatame. But Rebbe Yosef Yehuda also holds it Yumatame. So why did he hold in the case of the Shita Teva Migdol that you're Tohar? It's because Umar Sava, Rebbe Yosef Yehuda holds Kivan de Lo Shricha. This is an extremely unusual situation that somebody's going to go into Chutz Laretz in the Shita Teva Migdol. So this is a whole din, it's a din de Rabbanan, but Lo Gozubei Rabbanan. The Rabbanan didn't make a Gzeira that you're Tomei Tumasakim. If you're going in a Shita Teva Migdol, the Rabbanan only made Gzeiras for normative, typical occurring things, and that's going into the Eretz Amim in a normal way. But if you go in a Shita Teva Migdol, which is a very unusual way, so even though the Avira is Mitame Midrabanan, the rabbis weren't Gozer that Dindrabanan if you went there with a Shita Teva Migdol. Whereas Rebbe was Gozer it. Lo Gozer Rabanan is only Kuntur of Yosef Yehuda. Umar Savar Rebbe holds Af Al Gab Lo Shlicha, even though this is not a very unusual thing to go in with a Shita Teva Migdol, nevertheless, Gozer Rabanan, the rabbis were Gozer. So this is the machlokes between Rebbe and Yosef Yehuda. They both hold that Avira Eretz Amim is Mitame. Why in the Shita Teva Migdol case does Rabbi Yosef Yehuda say it's not? Because it's an unusual thing and the rabbis weren't Gozer. And Rebbe holds, even though it's an unusual thing, the rabbis were Gozer. So that's how Machlokas. Vatanya. Here, this Vatanya, as Tosa says, is Benichusa. Here's a proof Vatanya. The previous Vatanya was aye, but we have a Brisa that says that that's not true, therefore it's wrong. But here, this Vatanya is Benichusa, is softly, is with ease. And it's a proof to what we just said, because this Brisa that we're now quoting says, Hanichlas Li'eretz Amid Bishita Tevu Migdol is Tahar, because this is the opinion of Yosef Yehuda, who says that the Koran ubisvina ubiskarya tomei, the normal ways that you enter in with a Koran, which is a wagon, a svina, which is a boat, or biskarya is a boat that has a mast on it. So these are the normal ways that you enter the Eretz Amim. So here, Yosef Yehuda says that you're tomei. But if you're going in an unusual way, such as a Shita Teva Migdol, the rabbis weren't kosher, they're din derabbanan. Oh, this Brisa is clearly articulating the Shita of Yosef Yehuda. Rebbe disagrees and says, under all situations, the rabbis were gozer, Mishum Avira. Oh, V'atanya, V'nichusa, this is a proof to what we just said. So, the first way to understand the Machlokas of Rebbe and Yosef Yehuda is that they all agree the Avira is Metame, and we just explained the case of the Shita Teva Migdol as to whether the Rabbanim were gozer or not under all situations. Rebbe says under all situations they were gozer, and Yosef Yehuda says only under normative ways of going in, but not under this unusual way of going in with a Shita Teva Migdol. Fine. V'bayisem, alternately, you can learn it, that Hocha, Shemayotzi, Rosh V'rubo, L'shom, Pligi. No, the machlokes between Rebbe and Rebbe Yosef Yehuda is, yes, we're dealing over here with Gusha, that they were Metame. The rabbis said that Eretz Akim is Metame, it's the land and not the Avira. So why is Rebbe Metame in the Shita Teva Migdol, which should protect you from the land? Rebbe Yosef Yehuda is not. It's whether we make a gzeira or not that you're going to stick your head over out of the sides of the Shita Teva Migdol. Hocha, Shema Yotzi Rosha V'rubo, L'sham Plige. Rebbe would hold that, in fact, we make such a gzeira, and therefore you're tamei, even though you didn't do so. Whereas the opinion of Yosef Yehuda is, no, if you didn't stick your head out over the sides, so you weren't mild over the gush, so then you're not tamei. V'atanya, and again, we have a braisa, b'nichusa, that supports what we just said, that Rav Yosef Yehuda Omer, Hanichlas Le'eretz Ram, B'Shita Teva Migdol, Tor, Ad Shiyotzi L'Sham, Rosh O'Ruba. Here you clearly see that Rav Yosef Yehuda says that the rabbis said it's because of the Gush, and as long as you're protected by Shita Teva Migdol, you're not going to be Tameh, and we don't make a Gzeira, maybe you might stick your head out. But if you do stick your head out, even Rav Yosef Yehuda agrees that you're going to be Tameh in that situation. So you're Tor, as long as you're in the Shita Teva Migdol. Achiyotzi l'sham rosh o'ruba. If you put your head out, or the majority of your body out, even if it's not your head, then you would become tamei. So therefore, this is what Rebbe and Rebbe Yosef Yehuda are arguing about. So we have two ways that we understand the machlokas of Rebbe and Rebbe Yosef Yehuda. The first way was that they all agreed it's the avira, and we're only questioning the machlokas Rebbe and Rebbe Yosef Yehuda is whether the rabbis go there all the time or only under a dover shriach. The second way is that they all agree that it's the gush that's matamei, and the machlokas between Rebbe and Rebbe Yosef Yehuda is with the rabbis making a gzeira that maybe you'll stick your head out, or maybe that's not a gzeira. Rebbe says it is a gzeira, and Rebbe Yosef Yehuda says it's not a gzeira. But they all agree that if you did stick your head out, that you would become tamei. Okay, now we go to the next part of the Mishnah. We quote the Mishnah, it says, U'maskil u'mone. We said that if the person had a need to become tar from the tumah, so he was maza on shlishi and shvi, and then he can begin, as soon as he becomes tar, on day 7, to go and count his naziris to pick up from where he left off. He didn't knock off all the previous days, but he can just pick up where he left off. So Gemara says, Amar Rav Chisda, Rav Chisda tells us, Lo shanu ela b'nezirus muetis. This idea that the Yemei Gamro and the Yemei Sifro don't count towards your days of Nezirus, but you just interrupt your days of Nezirus and you pick off wherever you left off. So Rav Chisda tells us, they only said this, that it doesn't count towards the days of Nezirus, when you're dealing over here with Ela b'Nezirus Muetis, which is the Stam Nezirus is Shloshim Yom. So in this situation, if you, let's say, had done 10 days of your Nezirus, and then you became a Metzora, and you were then a Metzora Muchlat, so those days that you're a Metzora Muchlat don't count, so if you were declared a Metzora Muchlat on day 10, so that's it, you stop counting, but you're at day 10, you did not go off the first 10 days, and then however long it takes you to become a Mitzora that is no longer Mukhla, but now is considered to be Tor, and you start your 7 days, you do Taglachas, and you start your 7 days of Yimei Sifro. So at the conclusion of that period of time, when you do your Taglachas and you bring your Karbanos, so now you recontinue your count. Now this is only dealing with a Nazir who becomes a Mitzora, but the Nazir was only a Nazir for a 30-day count. So Lo Shana, we only said that you don't count the days of Yimei Gomro and Yimei Sifro when it's a 30-day Nazir term that he took upon himself. Avol b'Nezirus Merubah, if it was a 100-day Nezirus that he took upon himself, so then, Mislak Nami Solkin Le. So in this situation, you do count those days when he's Yemei Gomro and Yemei Sifro, as long as you still have 30 days at the conclusion of it, that will be your Nezirus, that will be a Nezirus that will have a 30-day growth of hair. So, for example, if you took upon yourself a 100-day Nezirus, and you became Tamei on day 50 with Tzaras, and then you were declared to be Mukhlot on day 50, on day 60, they declared you that you're no longer Tamei, and you count the 7 days, so now on day 67, the person has finished his Yemei Gomro, he's finished his Yemei Nizro, and it's day 67, so he took upon himself 100 days in his ears. He still has more than 30 days left, so even though he did a full taglachas, a full body shave on day 67, he's going to have at least 30 days still hair growth. So therefore, in that situation, you do count the Yemei Gomro and the Yemei Sifro. It was only 17 days, and we still have more than 30 days left in the example that I just gave us. So therefore, mislak nami salkin lei. In this situation, you do count those days. That's what Rav Chisda tells us. It's only if you're not going to have a 30-day growth of hair that is after your taglachas from your second taglachas of the Mitzora when you finish your Yemei Sifro. So as long as there are 30 days left, then we did count all of those days. If there's less than 30 days left, so then we don't count those days. That is what Rav Chisda tells us. However, Masi Rav Sharabia, Rav Sharabia questions this. And he says, look at our Mishnah. What did our Mishnah say? Our Mishnah had said, Maschil Umone Miyad, that you start to count immediately, Vein Mavato Ben Asakobim, but it doesn't knock off the preceding days. Now, what did our Mishnah mean? Bimai, what was our Mishnah talking about? If you're telling me Ilema Benezirus Muetis, it was talking about a Stam Nezirus of 30 days, so then Kaboy Gilu Seir, how could you say that you continue counting? Let's say it was a 30-day Nezirus. It became a Nazir who was Mukhlat on day 10. 10 days later, on day 20, he becomes no longer a Metzora. He starts the 7-day count. On day 27, he's done with his Yemei Sifro, and he has only 3 days left. So how can you tell me in that situation that he just picks up his count from day 10? So he'll count 20 days, but he'll only then have 23 days of growth because he becomes Tohar on day 27. So therefore, he has 3 days left. And if you add that to the preceding days, 10 days, so he's now going to have 13 days done, so he has to count another 17 days, he won't have a 30-day growth of hair. So how can that possibly be? He needs a 30-day growth of hair. So how can you tell us, Rav Chisda, that it's only talking about a Nezirus Muetis, a 30-day Nezirus? Ella, what? Rav Shravi says it must be Ella Lav ben Nezirus Merubah. It mustn't be talking about a Nezirus Merubah. Uktani, Maschul, Mon Miyad. And yet it tells you that you don't count those days. So therefore, this contradicts what Rav Chisda just said. So Rav Shravya asked the question, Hu Mosiv La, and Hu Mefarik La, and he answered it himself. Again, I always point this out. I heard this from my Rebbe many times. You find this in many different situations. The Tanaim and Amoraim of the Gemara are not interested in winning their argument. They're interested in getting to the bottom truth, Torah Lamito. And therefore, even though Rav Shravya asked the question, which it appears that Rav Chisda didn't have the answer to, but he himself answered it because he's interested in the right answer. He's not interested in winning an argument. So therefore, while he asked the question of Otzavla, he himself figured out the answer of Umafarikla. And he says, Benaziris bas chamishim yom. If our Mishnah is referring to a Naziris muetis, it's referring to a Naziris that's 50 days. Benaziris bas chamishim yom. And, for example, the Yosef Esrin, he'd observed 20 days of his Naziris, and then the Yisal de Beit Tzoras, and that's when his Tzoras was declared. And at the conclusion, Megaleach Tzorato, when he does his Taglachas at the beginning of the Yimei Sifro, and at the conclusion of the Yimei Sifro, V'hod the Yosef Tzlos in Yom in the Nazir, he still has 30 days left. So in that situation, he just picks up his count, because he's picking it up from day 20, so he has 30 days left, and he'll have a 30-day growth of hair. So in that situation, the ha is le gidul seyer, so there is no problem. So that is what the Mishnah is referring to, and Reuven Chisda is referring to. Now, the Gemara is continuing to go and question Reuven Chisda, but this is a good break point. This discussion of Reuven Chisda is going to extend for tomorrow's Gemara, so therefore we'll stop over here, somewhat in the middle of the sugya. We'll remind ourselves what Reuven Chisda's opinion was, and how Rami Bar Chama is going to question it in tomorrow's shir, and Baruch Hashem, we caught up another Amud, and with this we conclude today's shir.